Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Friday. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's keep rocking till 2 a.m. I said I wanted to add some more stuff about Nimmo. I'm just impressed with the guy. My line for Nimmo has been, Nimmo is a baller for a while. When you watch how the guy plays, he balls. And now he's just on another level. And I talked about how he was snubbed and how we don't do him any good by trashing him with a slow start or in disrespecting the guy. But good to see MLB Network giving him some love. There's a ton of Mets fans that work at MLB Network. So, of course, they're like, hey, man, let's clip up some Brandon Nimmo stuff. Let's break down Brandon Nimmo's swing. And I just saw Cliff Floyd doing a breakdown of Brandon Nimmo's swing over the last couple years. And then I was listening to D-Row go on, and Nimmo popped out on Twitter to thank them. But D-Row was talking about him, and MLB Network put out that he's caught fire. He's slashing 348, 437, 719 with 9 homers and 27 ribbies over his last 23 games. That was before today. So then Anthony DeComo put out a tweet adding to that, and he says, Brandon Nimmo, since not being added to the All-Star team, this week he's 5 for 16, batting 313 with 3 homers, 2 doubles, 9 RBI, and a 1250 OPS. Like, that's a great way to get noticed. That's a great way to say, all right, I'm not an all-star. Well, I'm going to keep playing like one. Carlos Mendoza said he deserves to be an all-star, and I'm going to continue to say it. And I'm going to continue to say it. And I think tomorrow or today, Friday, is the last day. I haven't seen, and somebody tell me if any producers or anybody else out there, I haven't seen the alternate's name for the National League. I saw them for the American League, right? The injury replacements for the two Astros players that are going to miss the All-Star. Kyle Tucker is going to be replaced by Anthony Santander. And Jose Altuve will be replaced by Will Castro. I have not seen who's going to replace Fernando Tatis Jr. and Mookie Betts. It just makes too much sense for Francisco Lindor to replace Mookie Betts and Brandon Nimmo to replace Fernando Tatis Jr. But the Mets don't get any love. They get discriminated against. It's all about the Yankees, right? Clay Holmes, he blew a bunch of saves. He's in the All-Star game based off of what he did earlier in the season, based off of the Yankees making him an entrance where we cut out the lights and play a song that he likes. And I don't know, man. The Yankees are absolutely cooked. And I just save it with all of the, Keith, this is just a phase. This is just a slump. This is a terrible slump. It's not even a slump when it's this long. This is who they're becoming. And what I fear is too much of this is going to be too hard to shake. Now you guys want everybody. Now they need Christian Walker. They need Ryan McMahon. They need Jazz Chisholm. They need Mason Miller. They need Tanner Scott. They need a whole new damn team. It doesn't work like that. My guy Joe is out in Las Vegas. Hello, Joe. You're on the Fan in New York.
Keith, how you doing, man?
Good, good.
Hey, it's funny because I feel like your mood with my mood meshes with the Yankees. Like, if there was a graph of both our moods, I think it goes in the same direction. I mean,
how much losing? Like, after a while, it's one thing to be frustrated with losing. It's another thing to get to the point of mad. Now I'm just laughing about it. Like, now it's just laughable. Yep. The almighty New York Yankees, fake elite, straight poverty.
You know, it's kind of, I feel like the wheels are falling off, and like it's kind of scary. Like, I don't want to blame Boone or blame, like, I'm not going to play the blame game.
Blame them all. Fire everyone. Yeah, that's what everybody wants. Fire everyone then.
Listen, I think Cashman put a good enough, like, I think he put good enough players on the field, and we were happy with him for a while, but something just happened where I feel like the team's just not trying. Grisham,
no, they're trying.
Torres.
When I watch their at bats, I feel like they're sleepwalking. I feel like as a baseball fan, and I don't act like I'm some type of baseball savant. I love the game. I stopped playing the game when I was 13. And I watch the game, and I just know the basics of the game, man. I know the basics of the game. When you need a shutout inning, you need a shutout inning, and they can't seem to figure that out. When you get runners on early in the inning and there's no outs, you should bring those runners in. They're leaving runners on base. They can't capitalize. They're swinging at nonsense. They're just like, they're hoping for walks. The guys that you need to come in clutch aren't able to come in clutch, and it's just consistent night after night after night. When you need a solid start from your starter, you can't get that from Nestor Cortez. He's immediately getting rocked. Like, it's not good enough.
You're right. And honestly, you know, that's why I'm happy, like, Ben Rice came up. Now, let me ask you a question. When you go to the stadium, is there, like, a real vibe behind him?
Of course.
Like, are the fans? I'm not sure. Like, and that's why it's funny when some people call in and they're trying to tell.
We don't discriminate. Yeah. We root for who's ever in the pinstripes, bro. Ben Rice.
I love it.
Ben Rice. And he does the eat the Ben Rice. And you know what? Like, this kid went legend last Saturday, hit 3 home runs. I said, it's been miserable to go to Yankee Stadium. But lucky you if you decided to go Saturday. You saw history.
I was trying to clean my house on Saturday, and I got blown in the game. And all of a sudden, it was 3 hours later. I was like, holy cow. Like, usually I'll casually watch the game. But after he hit the first one, and he's to me, he's box office so far.
He is a hitter.
I mean, I don't.
He is very hitterish. He is not overmatched. I am impressed. I was watching him hit home runs for the Rail Riders, thinking, yeah, well, the Yankees will probably just keep him down there. I thought the Yankees might use him as a trade chip. Come to find out, the Yankees pressed the button, and damn, did they need to. He's putting up better numbers than Rizzo was.
If you look at minor league stats, just for giggles, if you just went out there and looked at minor league stats, like Judge's stats, Dominguez, Spencer Jones, even Kevin Moss back in the day that everybody brings up.
Yeah, Kevin Moss.
Ben Rice is...
Shane Spencer.
Ben Rice.
Remember Gary Sanchez came up as a rookie?
Yes. Put Ben Rice's minor league stats up against any of them, and he blows them away. He's like a 1,200 OPS. Judge was like 950. Like, it's incredible how...
It is,
like,
it is honestly incredible that he's not overmatched yet. It's been a couple weeks now. I guess they'll put a book out on the guy. They'll figure him out at some point. But he's a gamer. Man, that hit that he had in the ninth inning, I'm just like, this is Ben Rice's team. He's got guts. Like, he's rising to the occasion while other guys are folding.
I saw not to throw Judge
under the bus. Sorry. We all love Judge, and we think Judge is the greatest player we've ever seen. He's allowed to go through slumps. But, like, in that inning, when Cabrera walks, Verdugo grounds out. Soto walks, Judge pops out. The guy to put bat to ball with the game on the line is young Ben Rice. Drives in a run.
And his swing is like Gary Sheffield's, like, sweet. I know he's a lefty and Sheffield was a righty, but his swing is that sweet. It's like, that is a swing. And, you know, Ken Griffey Jr., like, he has, like, Freddie Freeman. I mean, I don't know who you
think. I like what I see from the kid, and I no longer think we need a Christian Walker. Oh, I didn't say Vladdy Jr. How many times you hear that on the fan? Oh, Vladdy, they got to get Vladimir Guerrero Jr. What?
I can't do it. I can't do it with him. Like, if I can't look at your face, like, at all, like, I don't want to
see. If you've got a punchable face between him and Rafael Devers, yeah, I don't want either one of them ever on the Yankees. 888-808-1019. Yeah, now the Yankees need a whole new team. They need Vladimir Guerrero at first base, Jazz Chisholm at second base. They need Ryan McMahon at third. You can't get all those guys. And with what you're seeing right now, do you really think the Yankees are going to mortgage their future and give away all their top prospects to go in with this team at the deadline and then completely wash their plans of having a sustainable payroll in the near future? No. 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 Damn, I mean, I don't know where to go from here. What do y'all want me to say? I know y'all want to fire Brian Cashman. I know y'all want to fire Aaron Boone. And now we got to fire all the players. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. They need this break. I'm not looking forward to this Orioles series. The Orioles just got swept. That is why I am completely defeated. I'm just laughing at this team. You could only muster up two runs in the game you won, and you couldn't manufacture the runs tonight. You gave up the, like, it's just like, you, it, as far as Boone coming out and saying it's all right in front of us, no S it is. It was right there, and you couldn't grab it against the fourth place Tampa Bay Rays in a place that you're very familiar and comfortable with because you have spring training down there. And at the same time that the team in front of you, the team that, like, jumped ahead of you in the standings, that you should be, like, every day thinking, hey, we got to get back to first place. And it's not that far. That's what I said last night when I came in. I'm like, winning allows you to dream. And people were laughing at me on Twitter saying, this guy still thinks they're winning a division. Yeah, dummy, they're two games back. This was your opportunity right here to take the series and go into Baltimore, try to take that series and be up. And you couldn't do it. It's all right in front of you until it's not. Mike is in Glastonbury, Connecticut. What's up, Mike? How you feeling?
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
I work in the restaurant business. Hey, I work in the restaurant business, so you're my version of the afternoon drive.
Cool. Appreciate that.
I've listened to you a lot of nights. I heard you talking about the post-game interviews for the Yankees earlier. I can totally relate. I'm almost 40 years old. I've been listening to the Fan my whole life. I'm a Giants fan, Mets fan, Knicks fan. But I can't remember one time that I watched a post-game interview after a loss and felt better. Not one time. And I also think that that's like a New York thing. That's
oh, yeah.
It's expected.
By design.
Yeah. So
they're always going to defend their players to a fault. They're always prepared. I mean, you said you're a Giants fan. You just watched Hard Knocks. Man, they showed you before Joe Shane met the media at the combine. They threw a bunch of questions at him. They prepared him. And he said, yeah, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, like, it is all a game within a game. Understood. But us as fans, that's where we go looking for answers. Us as fans, we want blood after a loss. We'll never get it that way. In some other places, guys do lose their minds. In some other places, guys have flipped out, but it's not a healthy way for them to go about it because they got to go back into that room with those guys the next day. They can't throw anybody under the bus. They can't hold anybody accountable to beat writers and cameras and microphones.
Especially in New York.
Especially in the number one media market in the world.
Thanks for your time, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Man, yeah, shout out to the people getting out of work late or going to work late that rock with me. Shout out to the people that'll even say something like that. You're my afternoon drive. Shout out to the people that during the day are sleeping and don't get to listen to some of the shows during the day. I appreciate y'all, man. I appreciate everybody on Twitter. I even appreciate the haters. Like, what I try and tell some of you goofies on Twitter, like, Twitter is a game to me. I just play the game as myself. I don't choose a character. I don't put up a picture of Pete Alonso. I put up a picture of me. I'm proud to be who I am and my government name. And I stand on business. And you could come shooting at me, but pew, 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 pew. Don't be surprised when I shoot back. And, like, you can't get a reply out of some of the hosts on WFAN. You can't get a reply out of people that you see on TV. You can look at me on TV. I'll reply to you that night. You can listen to me on the radio right now. I'll reply to you tonight. Now, some of y'all are out of pocket where you just get muted or blocked and, you know, you say some things that cross the line. But just friendly back and forth banter about sports and fandom, I like that. Like, that's what I'm about. I like to talk, you know? I like to talk sports. I like to talk trash. My team's trash right now. Have at it. Have fun. But I don't play. I don't play for the Yankees. I just root for them since I was a wee little lad. And they brainwashed me when I was a kid into thinking that they were going to dominate every year, that they were going to be in October every year, and that the World Series was on the table every year. It's not. 888-808-1019. But, yeah, still rather be a Yankee fan than a Mets fan. And don't take that the wrong way. Don't take that the wrong way. It's not a jab at you. It's just my personal taste, my personal interest, how I came up.
I'm a Yankee fan. And I'm struggling right now with this team because this was supposed to be hell-bent on a champion, 82-80, never again. They're playing worse than the 82-80 team. Aaron Judge is healthy. Juan Soto is kind of healthy. His hand is aching. Where do they go from here? I guess you can just keep telling yourself things like, you know, the one caller tonight who said, Keith, we have Aaron Judge, and Aaron Judge is going to power us through the postseason. When have you seen that happen? What year? I missed it. I can't imagine things, or, you know, I can't just, like, I can't rest on things that haven't happened. You know, the best indicator for the future is the past. So I can't really lean on that. I can only go off of what I'm seeing every day. And when I sit down to watch the New York Yankees, man, bum, 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 I'm pumped most of the time. But as of lately, I'm not pumped. And I kind of knew it. I forecasted it. I don't go back and check my podcast and my shows, but I was telling you all, they have to stack wins. They must stack wins. They're going to get hurt. They're going to lose guys. When we were talking about, oh, man, everything was coming up roses for the Yankees, as far as look at how great they're playing. They haven't lost a series. Jason Dominguez is coming back. What are they going to do when Gerrit Cole comes back? I said, hey, we don't have to spend too much time talking about that because these things work themselves out. Clark Schmidt goes down. Cody Poteet comes up. Hey, get Cody Poteet back. Where's Cody Poteet? In his little bit of time, he had better outings than Rodon. Might have given us a better shot than Nestor tonight. And a lot of you read into what I said last night, and shout out to WFAN, shout out to Gallo for clipping it. I got to get back to like being more present on WFAN social media so it looks like I exist on the radio station on social media. But when I put out the tweet last night about the last five Yankees wins, who was on the mound, it wasn't to disrespect the performance of Luis Gil or Nestor Cortez, his last performance at home. Obviously, we can disrespect Carlos Rodon. But it was more to big up Marcus Stroman and even Gerrit Cole and compare the two as stoppers, as veteran presence on the mound that lends itself to good things happening. When your starting pitcher is shaky, defeat starts to set into your mind that we're already fighting an uphill battle. Like the way that this game started tonight pissed me off. The way that, like, I already knew DJ was getting a rest, and fine. Right, the most of you don't want DJ playing anyway. But the game starts off with a tease. Verdugo knock, Soto double. And then I think Judge was trying to hit a sac fly. It wasn't deep enough. It didn't happen. Or maybe he just got under it. It didn't. I don't know. He's in a bad one right now again. It's okay. He's allowed. But then Torres strikes out. Or no, Ben Rice strikes out. Then Torres strikes out. And just like the bad luck started in the first inning when Yandy Diaz hits that stupid-ass catwalk. I've been saying trash a can of field for so many years. I've been saying demolish the Trop. I've been saying that's the worst or second-to-worst ballpark next to the Oakland Coliseum in baseball. Rob Manfred, before you build them a new Las Vegas stadium or you try to expand and have a Nashville team, get rid of that ballpark as soon as possible. Because I can't stand to watch a game where Yandy Diaz hits a ball in the air that Trent Grisham, who's pretty good at tracking baseballs, looks like he's on, and then next thing, it juts out the other way. And that's how I knew right there, oh, this is a bad omen. Like, we go from having runners on to having terrible at-bats to Yandy Diaz, who owns Nestor Cortez, and then Randy Arozarena, I don't know if you guys remember Randy Arozarena. When he comes to Yankee Stadium, I can't stand him because in Yankee Stadium, he's too comfortable. And when he's in the outfield, he is unfazed by our chants, by our words. And there was a year, maybe 2 years ago or last year, where fans were upset about how Nestor Cortez was talking to him, how buddy-buddy they were, how cool they were. And I'm like, well, they're friends. Well, Randy being Randy wasn't too friendly to Nestor tonight. Whop. Puts us in a 2-0 hole. And I'm like, they're not winning this game. But I thought to myself, okay, every game is not the same. My first thought was overcome it. Fight back. It's a battle. It's a rubber match. They're going to compete. They want this game in their circus tent. They want to win this game. They're trying to fight. Kevin Cash wants every game against the Yankees. And ultimately, they didn't have enough. Austin Wells shows up, whatever. But you know, right after that, like, Volpe grounds out. Trent Grisham, like, has, like, a half-swing chop at the ball, grounds out. Cabrera, sorry, I'm like, they're not winning this game. I have no faith. I have no confidence. What happened to rallying, passing the baton? Now it's just like, if Judge is in a slump, they don't have a chance. They don't stand a chance. Mario in Long Beach back on the Fan. What's up, Mario?
What's going on? Yeah, I feel the pain too, you know? I feel the pain too. But I think it's going to turn around. I really do, you know?
Because of baseball, right? We only can think that.
Yeah, but if you really look at it, they played 100 games. They played 70 games great and 30 games terrible. If they turn it around now, all that matters is what happens in the playoffs, you know? And it's not like, it's just everybody slumping at the same time. You can't point a finger at it. The pitching ERA, I think, I don't know if I mentioned it to you, but it's up to 6.9 in these last 30 games.
I know.
I mean,
Since Cole came back, we thought getting Cole back, everything was just going to skyrocket. Since Cole came back, nah, they've all, you know, regressed.
But you know what's positive, though, here is that it looks like Gill's got his stuff back. If he gets back to what he was and Cole starts to come back, we might be just peaking at the right time. And one thing that gets me mad, I know we shouldn't look back at it. What was it, the eighth inning? It's first and second, 3-0 count. I forget who was up. The umpire called two balls, strikes that were clearly balls.
Yeah, he's
were
ready.
Loaded the bases.
Mario.
And the next guy who came, yeah.
That was Edwin Moscoso. I was at the ballpark last year. I specifically remember this because my son was born. I came back from paternity leave, whatever. My wife, I was yelling in the house and waking the baby up. And my wife was like, yo, if you're going to yell, just go to the game. And I'm like, really? So like, yeah. So I'm like, I'm going to go to the game the next day. And I went to the game. And shout out to my guy, Andrew Levy, because I kick it in his suite a lot. The perfect suite. And Boone, it was like the third inning, and he starts wearing the ump out. And I'm like, yo, Boone's got to stop this. He's not helping us. I know he thinks he's looking out for his guys and taking up for his guys, but he's marking us. It's Yankees versus the umps. These guys have it out for us. That day, he was yelling, and spit flew out of his mouth, and it hit Edwin Moscoso in the face. So that is the guy that's behind home plate when you need those calls tonight. And he's ready to get on his flight and go to the next city and wrap this thing up. He's not giving you an inch. He's looking to call those strikes.
Yeah. Interesting story. But you know, it really gets me to say, when are they going to, let's put in the electronic balls and strikes, please.
When?
Because when you're watching it on TV, it makes you crazy. I was yelling. I wanted to bang my head against the wall.
It's terrible.
I mean, did you see it was like 6 inches high.
But don't let it come down to that. Protect.
And then the last one was 2 inches low. He got two of them called against him.
That would have changed
the whole game.
I watched.
Right?
And
it would have been bases loaded. The other guy walked.
I know.
It would have been another run. It might have changed the game. But they'll turn it around. Thanks for taking my call. Great show as always, buddy.
Thanks, Mario. Believe it or not, I watched the game. Believe it or not, I know a couple of things. And like I just said, I know who the home plate ump is. And every time, he's a black dude. Or he might be Moscoso. I don't know. He might be Latino or something. But like, there's not that many black home plate umps or umpires anyway, and he's young. And Boone has shown up a lot of these young umpires. And I'm telling you, these guys, they have a union, and they look out for each other, and they don't forget. And I don't forget. I'm tweeting it. My boy Dro brought it to my attention. I'm on Twitter, and Dro tweeted my tweet from last year. And I'm like, damn it, they don't forget, man. These guys have it out for the Yankees, and they are not giving you an inch, and you can't let it come down to the home plate ump calling balls or strikes late in the game where you need every pitch. And you also can't go up there not taking the bat off your shoulder, hoping for a walk. Pete Fairbanks was wild. Let me go to the box score and see. Fairbanks threw 28 pitches. 15 of them strikes. So if 15 of them were strikes, really 11 of them were strikes. Jeff is in the Upper East Side. Jeff, you're on the Fan. What's up, man?
First of all, I just want to say I've been listening to the Fan since 87, and I think you're great. And I want to encourage your poet, which I see very clearly, to keep on going on.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
But what I'm calling about is I am totally sick of Aaron Boone's obsession, as I see it, with, you know, like resting people and like what he's doing with Aaron Judge with the DH for going on 2 weeks now to give him a midseason break to take care of his body is killing, in my opinion, the Yankees, because I have heard Aaron Judge numerous times telling Meredith Marakovich, Susan Waldman, whoever, that he is much more comfortable playing the field. You know that.
He wants to. He wants to play center field.
Absolutely. Yeah, he wants to. You know, I mean, right field, center field, whatever, but he likes to be in the game. The team wants him to be in the game, on the field. And here he is in this horrendous slump now. We know that they go to hell when you know, like he's not there. And when he's not on the field, he's not really as there as he could be if he was there. So, you know, I can't believe that the resting has not worked with, you know, Stanton, right? I mean, he's been very judicious with resting Stanton and all kinds of other people. And I can't believe that this hasn't come up. I mean, why does he keep him there when he's obviously slumping?
It's come up, Jeff. Giancarlo Stanton is hurt. So the reason you're seeing Judge at DH is because who would you rather have at DH? Jamai Jones? They've done that. Like, they've literally had Jamai Jones DH. JD Davis? You can't have these bench players that, like, talk about slumping. I'd much rather have Judge taking those at-bats. But you're 100% correct. This is what the Yankees do. They took a MVP right fielder in Giancarlo Stanton and said, you're a DH here. And then when he wasn't the same player...
No, well, I'm not exactly saying that. Giancarlo needs to be rested. I agree with that. But I'm saying even though he's been rested, he gets injured anyway. So Boone's trying to save Judge from being, injured.
It's twofold.
But Judge is going to get injured when he gets injured anyway. I mean,
fingers crossed he's healthy the whole year. I don't mean to cut you off, but it's
absolutely.
It's twofold.
Absolutely.
It's twofold right now.
But you hear what I'm saying, right? Yeah,
there's no better DH on the team than Aaron Judge right now when you have Trent Grisham who can play center field the way that he does. They tried to go out there with Jamai Jones as DH. They tried to go out there with JD Davis as DH. They tried to put other guys at DH, and they're not effective. So it's been Judge, and it just coincides with this slump. It sucks, but it is what it is. Without Giancarlo Stanton, you really see what this team looks like. Without having that guy as an everyday DH, without having that guy batting fifth in the lineup, this lineup is not connected. They had the same lineup for the beginning of the year. When they were rolling, they had the same lineup pretty much every day, except changing the catchers. And
I respect exactly what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but I would even, you know, put, you know, Cabrera in the outfield. No. I mean, basically, I would just like to see Judge play in the outfield a little bit more.
And then DH Trent Grisham?
I don't want to see Judge DH.
Getting that many at-bats.
Straight A's, man, you know?
Yeah, you're 100% correct, and it has come up. People are talking about it online. As soon as I posted my tweet saying I was going live tonight, someone wrote that to me. So thank you for calling and thank you for bringing that up, Jeff. You're not alone in that. We all know. We all wait for the lineup to come out. And we understand. Judge is a DH right now. I don't know what else to tell you guys. And it obviously has to do with like preserving his health, but it has more to do with Stanton being hurt. And who else would you rather have as the designated hitter than the best hitter in baseball? 888-808-1019. I got to take a break. Do some sit-ups in here. Stretch. Get some water. Mets fans, call me up. It's a much better vibe to talk about the Mets right now. Yankee fans, call me up. We can complain and keep crying about every single thing with the team. They are terrible right now. They are fraudulent right now. They cannot get out of their own way. They cannot figure out how to get a win. And everyone they face knows it. There's no running from it. There's no hiding from it. And I just have 100% confidence that the Orioles, after getting swept, they're not going to continue to lose. They're not trying to have a losing streak here. They're going to see those road grays come into their building and the Yankee fans come into their building, just like how, oh, it was a, highest crowd of these three games tonight in Tampa, majority of them Yankee fans. Yeah, that fires up the opponents, and the Orioles out of nowhere will snap back into it and be ready to rock. So the Yankees better figure it out fast. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. Dial the number 888-808-1019 if you'd like to say something on the show. We're rocking till 2 a.m. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Okay, and we're back. New York, what up? Keith McPherson on the Fan. Shout out to all my young guys that stay up to listen late. It's summertime, so I know you guys don't have school tomorrow, and I feel bad for the young Yankee fans. A couple nights ago, I said, like, there are young Yankee fans that can remember all of the Yankees' retired numbers, but they can't remember the Yankees' last World Series. And now, with just this last month, the younger guys that are like in elementary school, they're having those little conversations during recess and during lunch. Are you a Yankee fan? Are you a Mets fan? No, I'm a Yankee fan now. No, my dad got me a Mets hat. And with this shift over this last month and a half, kids are picking up that blue Mets hat with the orange interlocking NY. I'm sorry, yo. The grimace stuff, the oh my God stuff, winning series, having fun, guys smiling. Kids see that and they want to be a part of it. They want to RWTW, roll with the winners. You know it. If your dad didn't make you the fan that you are a front runner at some point. If your dad didn't tell you that, hey, this is who we root for, I'm buying you this hat, this jersey, there's no other option, and you could flip-flop. Right now, there's a lot of kids flip-flopping. There's a lot of kids making life decisions based off of the last month. Shout out to everybody on X, Twitter. I just refuse to call it X. Ross in Bergen County interacting with me. My guy, Lou Goodman. Lou brought up a point about, he said Juan Soto should be the DH. And I literally have in my notes, if Juan Soto's hand hurts him so much, and Judge is completely healthy, why not give Judge the right field spot and have Soto DH? You're not losing anything by having Judge in right field. You're gaining a better defender. And if Soto's hand is hurt, I believe it's his right hand, his throwing hand that he's picking the ball up and throwing it in with, why not take that away? We haven't got to that in the last 2 weeks. We haven't got to that thought. Maybe it'll pop up today. Maybe today will be the day where they say, hey, Judge, you go out to right field in Camden Yards. Build a ballpark. You go out to right field in Camden Yards. And Soto, you're going to DH. I think Soto did DH one time. Actually, let me go back to the ball. I think there was a game that Soto did DH. Like, let's do that more. Because we got to break Judge out of this slump. Because we don't stand a chance. We don't stand a chance. There's too many times where I'm like, I hate this lineup. We're relying on Gleyber Torres. I hate this lineup. We're relying on Trent Grisham or the catchers. Yeah, there was one game where Soto DH'd. I'm trying to find it now. But in the interim, let's get back to the phones. At 888-808-1019, Brock is in Huntington. What's up, Brock? You're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing, man? Bro, that's Brock. I miss calling the Fan. I got my new father, just like you. I got 2 5-month-old twins, so life's changed. It's good.
Wow, congratulations.
On. Thanks, my dude. Boy,
God bless. And great. Good luck with everything. Double trouble. You're blessed, but I'm sure it's two handfuls.
It is two handfuls. It's a full-time deal, but I'm loving it.
It'll make you smile in ways you never thought you'd smile, laugh in ways you never thought you would laugh.
Challenging and rewarding. Mr. McPherson. That's what it is now. Basically, with the, I wanted to talk to you about the Yanks, though, here, because I understand we can get on the Yanks. We can look at it, you know, from ground level, what's going on now. But what I'm noticing is just kind of over the last couple of years, even like in 2022, right, the first half of the year, I mean, they were like 64 and 28. They were like 36 games over 500 at the break. This is 2 years ago, not that long ago. Same kind of Aaron Boone-led Yankees. Second half, they go 35 and 35. They don't even win 100 games. It's like they have these, like, super highs, and then they just, like, hit these super lows where it's just so crazy. And if you look at it, like, over time, from an organizational standpoint, I'm not one of these young kids. I remember the good years, bro, like 98, I'm 18 years old. I played baseball at Seton Hall, so I mean, I remember the good times.
Awesome. Yeah.
That was like my time, you know, that was it. That was the best. But right now what I'm seeing is just like this time in the beginning of the year, they were a bomb squad. They were killing everybody. It was like no one stood a chance. Now it's like they can't get out of their own way. And there's just like this almost, not to poo-poo on mental illness or anything. I mean, we've all have been touched by it, but it's almost like they have like this bipolar kind of feel where they're so good sometimes and then they're so bad sometimes, yeah. And there's no real middle.
And it, you know? It's okay to speak on mental health. I said Rodon needs to talk to their psychiatrist or their mental health coach. The Yankees literally hired one. I remember a couple years ago, she would be tweeting, these guys need mental health people more than anyone. They have a high-pressure job. They're getting paid millions. They're constantly under scrutiny. And you can see they're in a funk. You can see they're in a malaise. They need to break out of it. They need to do something. And I don't know exactly how that's going to change. Thanks for the call, Brock. But one thing I'll say as we transition to talk about the Mets a little bit, because it's a better vibe. You know, Brandon Nimmo was quoted talking about after the team meeting they had, they started really holding each other accountable. And then Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor started paying for dinners. That builds camaraderie. Like, those things go a long way. And he said they started doing more things together. You guys saw how they were at the Mets function on the day off, all dressed up, singing, oh, my God. And then the next day, they go out and win a ball game, and then they do the same thing performing on the field. The Yankees need something like that right now. But the Yankees are too buttoned up, corporate, shave your face, keep your hair cut, fall in line, and be this artificial thing right now. It's not real. That's why I said they're like they're poverty posing as elite, and people are just laughing at them. You know what I'm saying? Am I delusional? They're supposed to be the 27-time world champs. No one is afraid of them right now. They're losing to whoever they line up against, but they're posed as this like historic franchise where tradition is winning. And no, it's not. Every year you get got. And last year, teams were circling you on their schedule, and it seems like they're doing that again. 888-808-1019. The Mets hit rock bottom, called a team meeting, and I don't know, something cosmic happened when Jorge Lopez threw his glove into the stands. That might have broke some imaginary force field, right? I always used to say, too, that there is an imaginary glass between the field and the stands. That's how I feel as a fan when I go to Yankee Stadium. When I see people throw stuff on the field, I'm disgusted. I've been in Yankee Stadium. People have thrown the ball back when the game's not in play after a homer. That's one thing. But, like, throwing the ball on the field, I remember we were losing to Tampa Bay in 2021, and April was miserable. And I think there were a bunch of kids from Fordham in the left field bleachers, and I'm sitting behind home plate, and I guess whoever was in left field for Tampa was giving these guys, you know, foul balls or balls from warm-ups, and they threw them back on the field when the Yankees were losing. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, we look trash as fans. We look trash as a team. So that imaginary wall, maybe Jorge Lopez throwing his glove, he threw his glove and a Yankee fan caught it. Maybe there was a symbolism there. And I just tip my cap to the Mets and credit the Mets for saying, hey, everybody else is looking at us like we can't lose to the Mets. We have nothing to lose. And you know what? I'm going to hold you accountable. Tomorrow, show up early for drills. Show up early for batting practice. Show up early for meetings. Put in the time. A guy like J.D. Martinez, who's won a World Series, who's been an all-star, bringing that type of mentality and, hey, it's all right in front of us. When you say it's all right in front of us, you got to go get it. You can't say it's all right in front of us and hope we get to happen. I gotta give it up to the Mets for turning it around, because they had more to overcome with the way that they started the season than the Yankees have to overcome right now, in my humble opinion. Glenn is down in New Orleans. Glenn, you're back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Always a great show. I love your time slot. Don't ever change, although I know you will. Hey, you were talking earlier about...
What you mean, don't ever change?
Well, that's because this is the slot I listen to, and I want to keep listening to you.
Thank you. I appreciate everyone that listens. And on that note, you know, I got a call from a friend of Steve Summers today, and we had a good conversation, and I was talking about Steve, and I was talking about how proud I am to transition WFAN from Steve Summers to me. I know I'm not everybody's favorite. I know there's Mets fans that much rather hear from Steve Summers than myself, but I think I do a decent enough job, and I know Steve thinks I do a decent enough job, and it's an honor to be on WFAN, and I take a lot of pride in this time slot, but this is not forever, folks. This is not forever.
Yeah, well, I'm aware of that, but anyway, before I hit on the Mets right quick, you mentioned something about Cortez being a chummy with
Randy Arozcampoyo. Yep.
On the Yankee broadcast tonight, the color guy, I forget his name, but I'm pretty sure he was the one that said during the All-Star games back in the day, Bob Gibson would not talk to his National League teammates because his job in three more days was going to get these guys out. That was going to be his job, and he didn't want to know about the enemies. Personal this and that. So anyway, with the Mets, I've never been a great Mets fan, but my favorite Met early on, of course, was Rusty Staub, who went to the same high school I did in New Orleans, Jesuit, and Will Clark went there as well. But didn't their turnaround kind of coincide not only with the glove tossing, but with the arrival of J.D. Martinez?
J.D. Martinez came back a little bit sooner, but you know what it was? It was J.D. hitting that homer against the Marlins.
Well, I can tell you, after having watched him in Boston for several years, he was probably the main difference in the reason they won that title in 2018.
Oh, I've seen him a ton. Yeah.
And I think the Mets are an exciting team. They struggled early. Hell, my Red Sox struggled really bad in May, but they've turned it around. And they kind of mirror each other. Both have better road records than they do home records. But I think the Mets are for real. I think that if they make the right couple of moves, and it doesn't have to be big blockbuster deals because I don't think any of those will happen at the trade deadline, big, big names. But they make a couple of additions, particularly in the bullpen, and that team can get into the wild card. And like everybody says, once you get in, if you're playing good at the right time, you can win it all. Hey, the Giants won it three times, and not once were they the best team in baseball.
No, so, the best teams don't win it. I mean, talking about the Giants, remember when the Giants were a 100-win team? And the Dodgers were a 100-win team like 3 years ago, or was it 2022?
Right.
And they exactly. They met in the first round.
Exactly. And that was the 101-win Met team as well.
Right.
2022.
That Met team ran into the Braves, ended up becoming a wild card team by a little margin, and then losing to the Padres. You can't call it, but you got to be in it. It's a crapshoot, but you got to get in the dance. And yeah. The Yankees are going to be in the postseason, but the bar for the Yankee fan is to get back to the World Series. We know that they're going to figure it out. They've won enough games. We know that they're going to be able to play 500 ball the rest of the way or better and get there, but that's not going to be good enough. For the Met fan, it's, hey, you missed the postseason last year. We thought this was a punt season this year. We thought this was a first year of David Stern's trial run. That guy's smarter than we thought. We're about to be buyers. We have a team that likes each other. That's clicking on all cylinders. Let's roll. We don't get to the postseason a lot. Let's get to the dance.
That's what I'm saying. You got to go for it when you have the opportunity because Sometimes they're few and far between. Dan Marino only made one Super Bowl, and that was his rookie year.
Yeah. But
I'll keep up the good work, Keith. Love you.
Thanks for the call, Glenn. 888-808-1019. I think it's obvious. Brandon Nimmo talked about it. I've been talking about it. Hosts have been talking about it on The Fan, like, not as, like, weeks ago. Once this started, I'm like, they're showing you they've got plenty of guys that can hit. They've got enough starting pitchers that can pitch. They got to fix the bullpen, which they actively are trying to do, sending guys down, calling guys up, signing guys. Like, they're on their way. You don't look to sell off a Pete Alonso or a Luis Severino or a J.D. Martinez because that can upset the clubhouse and that can change the chemistry that you have. 888-808-1019. I'm looking at the Mets schedule to go back to, you know, J.D. Martinez. He didn't arrive until, I believe, May. But he was here for enough series before that. Like, I remember J.D. Martinez stopping the no-no. They almost got no hit. But what it was the two-run bomb that J.D. Martinez hit in the ninth inning. It was his sixth homer. And that was to take a 3-2 lead over the 23-45 Marlins. And... like, when you go back, like, baseball is amazing. It is the best game. I love football, but, like, it's just not like this. You play once a week. It's just, I love basketball, too, but it's just not like this. Nobody can predict baseball. But when you go back to that series where the Mets were hosting the Marlins and it took that ninth inning heroics from J.D. Martinez to win it, and then, like, that was an inflection point, right? Because the day before was the 12th, and that's where Grimace threw out the first pitch. Man, the Mets, you got to believe. That's a Mets thing. The Mets since then, I'm trying to go back to my notes. That was the 14th of the 12th and 13th of June. Man, the Mets were 11 games under. Back on May 29th, they were 22-33. Since that date, they're 25-12. So that's why I'm saying for, like, the Mets fans, I'm like, just look at what's in front of you. They're one of the better teams in baseball right now. The Yankees are playing like one of the worst teams in baseball right now. Yeah, you go through slumps, but there's also something to be said about, like, breaking out of that and having some type of consistency. The Yankees are being consistently out-hit, out-pitched, out-managed right now. And I remember, obviously, that Dodgers series. You know, the Dodgers come here, Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts wasn't hurt yet, Will Smith, Teoscar Hernandez, those guys, they sweep the Mets, and it was rock bottom. It was rock bottom. But then they came out of that, and they took two from the Diamondbacks, so it started then, right? And then they took two, or they swept the Nationals, and then they took one in London. That's when I first looked at Luis Torrens, like, hey, Luis Torrens might be something that the Yankees just gave away. I don't know, man. There's so many things that you can look at with the Mets to say that this is real. This is tangible. During the Subway Series, I asked you, what is more real? What is more tangible? The Yankees' struggles or the Mets' success? They're both real. they're both real. Fast forward a couple weeks. They're both real because the Yankees have continued to struggle and the Mets have continued to figure it out. 888-808-1019. 1 hour left for me. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We're going to fly through the calls. I did go back and figure out when Juan Soto was the DH for the Yankees, and it makes too much sense. We'll talk about it when we come back. Keith McPherson on The Fan. We'll be back right after this.